hopefully, in past years, because it makes sense because of some of the claims activity, we actually pushed the open enrollment into the last week of November, first week of December. We'd not like to do that this year, if at all possible. So, from a timeline standpoint, I certainly don't have to have a vote today unless you're inclined to just do so. But we would like to have a discussion and resolution, hopefully, maybe, if possible, this next Monday's meeting, if not for sure, the following, because after that, then we have to have the electronic administration system updated. Any plan changes, if you were to choose to just renew the everything but the medical the same, or even the medical itself, obviously it makes it easier and easier the more that stays the same. But we do need to at least move this down the line to get to a decision point, as well as if you'd like to go to competitive bid and have us go out to Anthem, United, Aetna, self-funded options, whatever you'd like us to take a look at.
I think I ask this every year. What's our loss ratio need to be to look at self-funded? 90% range, 85% range?
You know, Obamacare puts it at 85% as far as where they say the insurance carriers, should, if they spend less than 85 cents on a dollar, then they have to refund that money to the block, not to the individual, but the block as a whole. So you can have a bad loss ratio and still get a refund. You know, different theories. You should be trending in the right direction. Your shock losses should be cooling, and you should be in a spot where you perceive that in the next year that you have a better chance than not of having a good claims year, right? Because that's where self-funding helps you, is you get to keep the difference in the past. At a 97% loss ratio, typically that's not a client that would look at self-funding. But there are contrarians within the world that say, hey, we're at 97 now. Chances are next year is going to be a good year. This is a great year to do that.
We're not going to charge ourselves for COVID.
Well, hey, you've got that going for you. With the reinsurer might, but that's a little
bit. Quick question. So on the current renewal, they just did a blanket 8.5. Why would they, but then if you look at the bottom one, where that's the, is that the HSA or the H, what is that?
That is the HSA, yeah.
The other two options is a 1.1% increase versus a 5.6 and a 4.4, which tells me that they could probably lower the HSA renewal. They just did a blanket 8.5 and they should have done probably less on that.
Commissioner Williams, that is based on my, and I can certainly ask the question to verify, but just in my review over the weekend, whenever they give you these options, they're then mapping you to a different plan design, right? So option two is a little bit different than your current renewal, so is option three. They don't have a perfect straight line plan to do that, therefore they're getting you as close as they can. So in option three down the board, the $1,500 deductible option would go up 4.4%, the $1,000 option would go up 6.4%, and the HSA option would go up 1.1%.
So they did it on the other two options, but they didn't on the current renewal.
The current renewal is just based, in other words, the current program or the current program itself, and then just the renewal are the exact same plans, and that's why they're identical as far as the overall. When you start moving the plan designs around, they can't just map them exact.
They could.
They have certain plans that they file, and that's what they've got.
Because the second plan, that's just a buy-up. That's not a different thing. It's just a buy-up.
It is a buy-up, but if you look at the differentials between the current buy-up and then the option two buy-up versus the base plan and then the renewal for it, there are different factors that they're changing within those plans. They have offered, and just walking through that, I think it's a good thing. What they've really done is basically option two takes you to a $2,000 deductible from $1,500. You don't get as much for that, as you do from going from $1,000 to $1,500. But then they've split the primary care physician from the specialist, so it's actually a higher specialist copay. The office visit is still inclusive, $250 ER versus $275 for urgent care, would go up to $100. So you can see that there's lots of moving parts within these options, but they've just tinkered with that. Again, I like option three better, just because the deductibles stay the same, but they bump up a little bit in some of the areas where our utilization is not as good.
That page, the member medical spending. ~87% spend less than $5,000.
Well, actually, you're looking at the prior year, 2018-2019. If you go down,
I think I look at the
81-87%. Spent less than $5,000.
So it said 87% spend less than $5,000.
Yeah, actually, it works out the same in both years.
I was looking at the 1920. '18-'19 was 87%. So having that majority of the people is what brings everybody else down. Having more healthy people brings down.
Bring the broader the risk pool and the healthier the risk pool, right? And the more people that are on it that are healthy, obviously, then your cost per head definitely goes down.
So the goal is to get more healthy people on insurance.
That is a
good in order to keep costs down.
As long as you know that when you put them on, they're healthy.
You never know that.
No, you don't. I'm guarantees in life.
But you can always look at. I'm assuming you look at statistics and data to find out who is typically healthier age wise and lifestyle wise.
That's an easy one. The older you get, the sicker you're going to be. So that's just kind of...
I wasn't going to say that.
Speaking from experience, are you?
Yeah, right?
And once again, the shoe doesn't fit everyone the same on no. that.
No, it does not. And it's the law of large numbers, but then again, there's always aberrations. So for my purposes today, two questions that I would definitely want to come away with an answer to. Number one is, would the commission like us to go out to bid? Number one. And number two, if not, what, if anything, would you like me to go back to ask of Cox Health Plan?
Are we going to get any lower or any better rates for similar coverage if we go out for bid?
Having pointed out to you the $134 per employee per month that they took out of the claims mix, That is unusual. Most carriers don't do that. So therefore, I would be surprised if we were to find something. I can't tell you 100% without doing it, but I Cox Health Plans and Anthem are, you know, both have about 40% of the market down here. Everybody else, you know, fights over the remaining 20%. They're the most competitive. I believe it's a pretty fair renewal. You brought up 2 points. They did blend you back to their book, the 70% that you saw in there. That is 1 point certainly we can make. Also, the COVID adjustment is, I mean, we can say no fair, but, you know, they're going to say, well, no, but you would have, you know. So, I mean, that's just going to be kind of a little bit of that. But sometimes if we go back.
Well, actually, I think what we were going to do is we were going to be extremely healthy and have a 60% loss ratio.
That was the plan.
That was our plan. So if they have the argument that, well, you would have, we can come back with our would have. Is that unjust enrichment, Mr. Elliott?
Do you
we
know
have a legal argument.
Anthem does the 100,000 above.
Most any carrier has some sort of pooling arrangement. It may not be at 100,000. So on a group,
I thought they had something. That's why I was asking.
Absolutely, they do have pooling, and it may not be identical to the way Cox does it, but it's very similar.
You said you got this on Friday.
Yes, sir.
You've not had a chance to talk with them and beat them up a little bit over.
Not this is fresh out of the gate. No conversations beyond that.
I think I'd like to see him before we look at possibly going out for bid. And I'd like to see if you can talk to them and whittle down a little bit. Is that, do you guys agree with that?
I'm not crazy over that. That should be an increase. I know you say that's good, but...
So what have you seen with other entities our size?
Best renewal I've got is a zero. Worst renewal I think we have in-house is a 36% increase.
What's the difference between the zero and the 36%?
About 36%.
That's good.
Yeah. Just health conditions.
I mean, have that mask on, I could tell if you're smirking or not.
Are they different insurance companies?
Okay. Actually, in this case, no.
This one.
And it really just comes literally down to claims experience. So you guys, I mean, we're based, you know, on what your claims are. It doesn't matter what the other Cox Health Systems or other people have. Same thing with Anthem. So we always see a spread. There's some years we don't see any zeros. I've actually, believe it or not, had negative renewals before in the past where it was justified, but very rarely. And I've had over 50%, which is horrible. But that being said, there's always kind of a spread. The PricewaterhouseCoopers is a accounting firm that does a projection for medical trend, which means the cost of increases. And this year, they hedged. Normally, they just say, hey, it's going to be 7% or something like this. This year, because of COVID, they said, hey, 6% is our guess, but if people don't go in the spring, and you know, the winter and the spring because of COVID, then it may be 4. And if everybody goes in because, you know, pent-up latent demand and all that kind of stuff, it could be as high as 10. So somewhere within that window is probably fair. 8.5, although, obviously, it, you know, the revenues probably aren't going up 8.5%. I get that, but that being said, it's at least within the band. If you can get a single digit renewal, you're usually ahead of the curve. But that being said, no, I've not gone back to Cox. I've not said, hey, you know, you need to whittle this. Hey, you know, don't blend us to the book. Those kind of arguments, I've not made any of those.
So my other question on the difference between the 0 and the 36. What is the difference between, what the difference in the, how the entities just higher loss ratio, higher amount of people, what's some of the differences? How can we trend towards the zero and away from the 36?
You know, a couple of the things I guess I would hit. it comes down to your